Let's see what's happening in the world today.
I think the connection's stable. Hello. I upgraded my PIA client this morning, and it appears that during that time, I set it to like auto connect, so it kept interrupting Mix's connection to the streaming server. So I started the show three times. But hey, you know what? We're here, and there is so much news that we're just gonna have to accept it and keep on rolling, okay? All right, so let's go ahead and jump over here into COM. You just type COM, C-O-M, at the terminal prompt when you're on SDF, and then you type G for go to, type in an on radio, boom. Welcome, Rudy, SMJ, X1, Ratsu, man, we're all here. Jazzmaz always in there. Oh, look, we got Buttstuff and Bronzy Beat probably hanging out from before. But anyway, the gain on my mic is high, and I'm not. So let's run through some news. First up,
world news.
That's right. We always start with a little bit of world news. So starting up here, Armenia and Azerbaijan are still going at it. Things are intensifying. BBC News is reporting that Armenia says its fighter jet was shot down by Turkey. So Armenia says one of its fighter jets was shot down by a Turkish jet in a major escalation of the conflict over the disputed Nagorno-Karabakh region. The Armenian Foreign Ministry said the pilot of the Soviet-made Su-25 died after being hit by the Turkish F-16 in Armenian airspace. Turkey, which is backing Azerbaijan in the conflict, has denied the claim. Nearly 100 people, including civilians, have died in 3 days of fighting over the disputed mountainous region. The enclave is internationally recognized as part of Azerbaijan, but has been run by the ethnic Armenians since 1980-1994 war between the two republics. Ugh, I don't like how sensitive my mic is now. Ugh. Anyway, sorry. I'm just rolling along. Here we go. Okay. So Armenia and Azerbaijan still going at it. Belarus also going at it. Belarus is to suspend major online media outlet Tut.by for 3 months. So this coming from Reuters. Oh yeah. This is why it's fun to talk about these stories, because they're not widely reported. Belarus is going to suspend major online media outlet Tut.by for 3 months. Belarus's Ministry of Information will suspend the major online media outlet Tut.by from October 1st until December 30th, it said in a statement on Tuesday. And that's it. That's what's so weird about this story. Reuters has it, and that's the whole story. There's no analysis, nothing else, just, hey, this popular outlet's being blocked. And then that's all they say. So it's kind of... that's what made it interesting to me anyway. Yeah. Yeah, too many things close to Russia. Russia's not going to be in any news stories, I guess. such as the world we live in. Additionally, from Reuters was exclusive, which is why I grabbed it for us. Rosneft and Aramco unlikely to bid for India BPLC. So that's Brava Papa Charlie Lima. Sources are saying oil majors Rosneft and Saudi Aramco are unlikely to bid in the privatization of Indian refiner Bharat Petroleum Corp. Sources familiar with the matter said as low oil prices and weak fuel demand curb investment plans. Oh, Turkey. It is a key. So Russia's Rosneft has expressed interest in buying the federal government's 53.29% stake in Bharat Petroleum when CEO Igor Sechin visited New Delhi in February, while India's trade minister had said that Aramco was enthusiastic about the stake. A Rosneft source, however, said his company will not buy BPCLL. Another source said Rosneft would be only interested in BPCL's marketing businesses, comprising fuel depots and more than 16,800 fuel stations. For this, India has to sell BPCL in parts. So this should be very interesting. It'll be an interesting kind of mix, or it'll be interesting. Anytime an industry is privatized or returned to the public, it kind of creates some cool economic activity anyway. Let's just keep on going. We just got a couple more international stories, and then we'll play a song and then get worked up over domestic news. An American is facing prison in Thailand over a bad hotel review. That's right. An American man is facing 2 years in prison in Thailand after posting negative online reviews of a hotel resort. The Sea View Resort in Koh Chang accused Wesley Barnes of a slanderous campaign over the reviews and filed a police complaint under the country's harsh defamation laws. Barnes was arrested this month and held in jail for 2 nights before being freed on bail. He has stayed at the resort in June and had disagreed with staff who tried to charge a corkage fee for alcohol he and a friend had brought onto the premises. He told The Guardian that he felt the hotel's manager was aggressive. Oh yeah, by the way, this is off of TheGuardian.com. Aw. And condolences to X1. He has no egg today. And don't forget, stick around till the half hour, because at 19:30 UTC, every single day, we got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. That'll be rocking good time. Today, if you forgot, is September 29th, and it's a Tuesday. Okay, let's keep on rolling, rolling, rolling. Oh no, I hit Q instead of W. Relaunching Firefox. Sorry for the delay. I accidentally closed my browser. Yeah. Yelp. mean Yelp reviews. Oh, it was on TripAdvisor, by the way. I didn't mention that. Yeah, and a corkage fee. I've been charged that at places. If you go to a bar or restaurant and you bring your own liquor or something, if their liquor license will allow it, they'll charge you like a corkage fee or a cake cutting fee. But anyway. What else? Our friends at the World Socialist website have a much more detailed account on the escalation of the conflict between Armenia and Azerbaijan. So the short here is, dozens of soldiers and civilians were killed yesterday in a second day of fighting between Armenia and Azerbaijan over disputed Nagorno-Karabakh region. Heavy fighting involved tanks and armored vehicles, fighter bombers and drones. It is by far the bloodiest since the 1988 to 1994 war between the two former Soviet republics. Armenian authorities who run Nagorno-Karabakh said they lost 28 soldiers, bringing total casualties to 59, while Armenia has suffered 200 wounded. The Human Rights Defender Office in Artsakh, the Armenian name for the Nagorno-Karabakh enclave, claimed all its towns, including Stepanakert, Askaran, Martakert, Martuni, Hardut, and Shushi, were hit. A grandmother and her granddaughter were killed. Armenian forces claim to have destroyed 15 drones as well as several Azeri armored vehicles and killed hundreds of Azeri soldiers. So, yeah, it's pretty wild. Yeah, so it's a little bit, it's just sad. There's a lot of conflict and it's getting serious. There's more news here. Big piece, or a kind of a piece, there is a growing danger that the Trump administration, which has already announced its plans to launch a coup and ignore the results of the November presidential election, may try to start a war with Iran in a pre-election October surprise. Yesterday, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo told Iraqi President Bahram Saleh that he aims to withdraw U.S. troops and diplomats stationed in Iraq since the illegal 2003 U.S.-led invasion. If they stayed, they would be vulnerable to attack if Washington went to war with Iran. So, that's kind of, it's dangerous. But again, this is a World Socialist website, so they definitely don't like the current president. So that's, anyway, but that was the other tidbit from that story. And let's see. Cork. It's the bark of a kind of oak. Yep. Yeah. So just so you know, in Texas, there's certain liquor licenses depending on the restaurant and stuff. So there's a place called Batch Kolache Shop, and it's a kolache shop, and they have beer there. But if you buy the beer to drink there, they sell you the beer, and then they charge you a corkage fee. because you're technically buying the beer to go and then bringing it into their restaurant to drink it there. It's a little bit weird, but I mean, it works out because if you grab the beer to go, you can get it cheap, even though that's not how they intend you to consume it. All right, so enough about that. Let's talk about the another BBC story. A Chinese teacher is sentenced to death for poisoning nursery children. Yeah, that's right. We can't have a day with happy news. We got to be sure we end with some nice destructive death or sadness. So a Chinese court has sentenced a nursery teacher to death for poisoning 25 children, one of whom died. Wang Yun was arrested last year after children at kindergarten in Jiaozhou City were rushed to hospital after eating their morning porridge. The court said she put sodium nitrite in the breakfast of her colleague's students for revenge after a fallout. It described Miss Wang as despicable and vicious. The incident on the 27th of March last year shocked China and triggered global headlines. At the time, it was reported 23 children began vomiting and fainting after eating their breakfast. A police probe was triggered after allegations the teacher had poisoned them. On Monday, a local court sentenced Miss Wang to death. It is in a statement that she had put sodium nitrite into the porridge of the young students of another teacher in revenge after they had argued over student management issues. Sodium nitrite is often used as a food additive for curing meat, but can be toxic in high amounts. So, very sad indeed. But, I mean, yeah. Oh, what was I thinking? Sorry. I'm spacey. I'm a space case. We've got a couple more sad stories, or one more sad story, and then we'll play a song. This one is a bit sensitive, trigger warning, it's a story about rape and abuse. All right, so a 19-year-old Dalit, formerly untouchable woman, has died after she was allegedly gang raped by four upper caste men, sparking outrage in India. This is coming to us from thebbc.com. The woman was admitted to a hospital in Delhi 2 weeks ago with several serious injuries. The attack occurred on September 14th in the northern state of Uttar Pradesh. This is also the place where the Facebook memes were getting out of control and people were refusing stuff, and also the place where they were running out of oxygen. So the state is in trouble. The news of her death has prompted many in India to take to social media and demand justice. Police told local media that the four men had dragged the victim to a field in Hathras district where they allegedly raped her. She was grievously injured. The victim's brother confirmed her death to BBC Hindi, saying that no arrests have been made in the first 10 days after the incident took place. She was left for dead. She fought for her life for 14 days, he said. Family told India Express newspaper that the main accused, I think they mean men, but the main accused in the crime had always harassed Dalits in their area. Opposition parties in the state have condemned the attack. Rape and sexual violence have been under spotlight in India since the 2012 Delhi attack, which led to huge protests and changes to the country's rape laws. There's been no sign of crime against women and girls abating. So it's very sad. It's a horrible state, to be in. Let's go ahead and play a song while we kind of get our heads straight. Oh, here we go. This song is a short one. It's called Man with the Woman Head by Frank Zappa and the Beefhearts.
The man with the woman head, Polynesian wallpaper made the face stand out. A mixture of Oriental and early vaudeville jazz poofed her, forming a hard, beetle-like triangular chin, much like a praying mantis. Smoky razor cut low on the ear, neck profile. The face the color of a nicotine-stained hand. Dark circles collected under the wrinkled, folded eyes, map-like from too much turquoise eye paint. He showed his old tongue through ill-fitting wooden teeth, stained from too much opium chipped from the years. The feet brown wrinkles above straw loafers, a piece of coconut and a pink seashell caught the tongue and knotted into thin white strings. Charcoal gray Eisenhower jacket zipped into a load of green ascot. A coil of ashes collected on the white on yellow dacks. Four slender bones with rings and nails endured the weight of a hard, fat, black rubber cigarette holder. I could just make out Ace as he carried the tray and mouthed, "You cheap son of a bitch," as a straw fell out of a Coke and cartwheeled into the gutter. So this was a drive-in restaurant in Hollywood. So this was a drive-in restaurant in Hollywood. So this was a drive-in restaurant.
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
Yes, yes, yes. So this is Hollywood. And actually, this is Anon Radio, and the show you're listening to is news to me. I'm DJ Marcus. We've got about 11 minutes to go before Tobe and the Dubious Goals Committee starts up. Because of Tobe, I've been drinking lots of Dahong Pao tea, and I did an experiment. I put my second steeping of Dahong Pao in a jar, sealed it up, put it in the fridge overnight, and I'm drinking it cold. It's not as good as when it's hot, but it definitely has a nice flavor. So, sorry. My mic's been picking up a lot more mouth and nose sounds and breathing noises. I'm going to work on that eventually. Anyway, let's talk about some cool sciencey stuff. It's not tech news, but close enough.
This is time for tech news.
All right. So check it out. All right, BBC's reporting this. This is really cool. Buried lakes of liquid water are discovered on Mars. That's right. Three new underground lakes have been detected near the South Pole of Mars. Scientists also confirmed the existence of a fourth lake, the presence of which was hinted at in 2018. Liquid water is vital for biology, so the finding will be of interest to researchers studying potential for life elsewhere in the solar system. But the lakes are thought to be extremely salty, which could make it difficult for any microbial life to survive in them. Billions of years ago, water flowed in rivers and pooled in lakes on the Martian surface, but Mars has since lost much of its atmosphere, which means water can't stay liquid for long on the surface today. However, it's a different matter underground. It's even more likely that these bodies of water existed in the past. Of course, the implication of this is that you would have a habitat, or something that resembles a habitat, that lasted throughout the history of the planet. So Mars, when undergoing its climatic catastrophe and turning from a relatively warm planet, though it's not clear how warm, to a frozen waste, there was a place where life could adapt and survive. The latest discovery was made using data from a radar instrument on the European Space Agency's Mars Express spacecraft, which has been orbiting the red planet since December 2003. So yeah, it's pretty red. It's pretty cool. So that should be interesting. I hope they can find some cool stuff. We'll see. The Guardian's got a thing here. This is kind of cool. Back here on Earth, new super enzyme eats plastic bottles 6 times faster. This is a breakthrough that builds on plastic-eating bugs first discovered by Japan in 2016 and promises to enable full recycling, which would be so cool. I don't know. Everyone that's listening probably knows, but it would be very neat if we could actually get rid of the plastic instead of letting it live in the ocean. So a super enzyme that degrades plastic bottles, makes bottles 6 times faster than before, has been created by scientists and could be used for recycling within a year or two. The super enzyme, derived from bacteria that naturally evolved the ability to eat plastic, enables the full recycling of the bottles. Scientists believe combining it with enzymes that break down cotton could allow mixed fabric clothing to be recycled. Today, millions of tons of such clothing is either dumped in a landfill or incinerated. Plastic pollution has contaminated the whole planet, from the Arctic to the deepest oceans, and people are now known to consume and breathe microplastic particles. It is currently very difficult to break down plastic bottles into their chemical constituents in order to make new ones from old, meaning more new plastics being created from oil each year. The super enzyme was engineered by linking 2 separate enzymes, both of which were found in the plastic eating bug discovered at a Japanese waste site in 2016. Researchers revealed an engineered version of the first enzyme in 2018, which started breaking down plastic in a few days, but this super enzyme gets to work 6 times faster. So it's pretty rad. Then they've got, you know, different people talking about how cool it would be and about how terrible plastic pollution is. So, oh, and then researchers have also been successful in finding bugs that eat other plastics like polyurethane, which is widely used but rarely recycled. When polyurethane breaks down, it can release toxic chemicals that would kill most bacteria, but the bug identified actually uses the material as food to power the process. So, really interesting. And so, anyway, that's going to be cool. Do we have one more? I think. Oh, yeah. This is more of an informational story for all of those out there in the U.S., or who are just curious about the U.S., because there's an election coming up. And so, while this story's a little dry, I thought it was kind of useful. This is from the Neiman Lab, which I find to be pretty, has a lot of neutral stories or a lot of good long-form stuff. Now, this first off, editor's note, with mis- and disinformation campaigns heating up, vacancy on the Supreme Court, and a president who refuses to commit to accepting the results of the election, arrives at a period of extraordinary uncertainty and tension. Neiman Reports and Neiman Lab are publishing a collection of stories exploring how newsrooms are covering this intensely contested vote and its aftermath. So this, all right, so here we go. Yeah, so the election could be contested and last for weeks after November 3rd. Here's what expert thinks journalists should know. Can he do that? How many times over, say, the last 4 years have you heard readers ask you that? How many times have you asked yourself? The National Task Force on Election Crises is a cross-partisan group of experts wants reporters to know exactly how presidential elections are conducted and decided, including what happens when election results are disputed. The task force has a number of resources specifically for journalists, starting with a media guide and legal guidelines that explain, for example, that no, the president can't postpone or cancel the general election. In a virtual summit for journalists this month, the government officials, election experts, and civil rights advocates advise journalists on what they can do to reduce the impact of misinformation and bad faith claims. Besides media workers, the task force has reached out to tech companies, politicians, military figures, professional athletes, faith leaders, and business executives. So, many of the recommendations for reporters fell into one of three buckets: setting expectations before the election, covering and contextualizing election day itself, and reporting on what happens after November 3rd. So, and then it goes through, like, different things, but the main headlines are the main subsections are set expectations for election night, then make a plan for misinformation, regardless of what the outcome is, there'll be a lot of misinformation, and then learn the timetable. Did you know that if there's no clear winner by noon on election day, January 20th, 2021, the Electoral Count Act provides for an acting president while disputes are resolved? The president, or the Speaker of the House, is first in line. The current president does not stay in office. States will be working to count votes, resolve disputes over rejected ballots, and address an already unprecedented number of legal challenges before the certification deadline in early December. Many states, including the battlegrounds of Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, will be doing this on the fly after making provisions to allow mail-in voting during a presidential election for the first time due to COVID-19. So, there's a whole bunch of stuff. It's a huge bit of information, but definitely read up on it and set your expectations. All right, so we'll run through some headlines because, you know, I can't talk. I can't be brief about most things. All right, so the BBC's reporting Breonna Taylor's tapes of the grand jury deliberations are going to be released. Breonna Taylor's the jury decided no officer should be charged over her death. Its tapes are secret, but one juror sued for release. Kentucky's attorney general said he was confident that the tape would show his team had presented a thorough case. And this is just trying to basically show that the district attorney didn't just not want to prosecute. So it'll be interesting. Okay, what else do we got? President Trump is doing things he does, which is spread rumors and all sorts of other stuff. The latest and greatest, there was one call for drug tests, but today's Today's current thing is Trump is demanding Biden's ears be inspected for hidden transmitters before the debate. So this should be pretty exciting. That's from the Independent. But he's already accused Joe Biden of juicing, being fed questions in advance, and taking answers from a teleprompter. So now they're saying he's going to have an earpiece. So we'll see how that goes. California is experiencing more wildfires. Deadly fires are raging through Northern California, forcing tens of thousands to evacuate. Glass fire tripled in size on Monday in Napa and Sonoma counties, while the Zog fire burned further north and has killed three. The wine country's on fire. California firefighters on Tuesday battled the fire that exploded in Northern California wine country, prompting tens of thousands of evacuations. So it's very, so it's very troubling. But the fires are back. We don't have a lot of time to dwell on it. Amnesty, the rights group Amnesty International on Tuesday accused French authorities of using vague laws to crack down on anti-government protesters and deter others from exercising their rights to demonstrate. You can find that on France 24. Reveal has two articles that are very, very powerful, and I'd recommend anybody who's interested to go check it out. They're about how Amazon hit its safety crisis. And then it also has a lookup, so you can basically look at any Amazon package you got, look at the warehouse code, put it in their tool, and it'll give you the accident reports and danger rating for the warehouse where that package came from. So that's at revealnews.org. Definitely worth checking out. We kind of run out of time, but I'm here Monday through Friday, and Tobe's here every day. Totally, there were some praying mantis dudes yesterday. And, you know, kitty cat hacking, or sorry, kitty hacks. I don't know what to call Pippa's hacking, but it's amazing. So I guess I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 19. 19-